I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
What is up, everybody? We are live on AfterBuzzTV.com, the AfterBuzz TV YouTube page, iTunes, SoundCloud, and Spotify. You're liking, subscribing, telling your friends and your foes about the world of AfterBuzz TV as we break down SmackDown on Fox. What's up, everybody? I am Josh Tariff. Got the whole panel and then some this week. First off, the lovely lady to my left, she is Gabby Loren.
What's up, guys? So glad to be back. It was an awesome SmackDown. Getting ready for the Super Showdown in Saudi Arabia.
That's right. Over on the other side of the table, you love him. You know him. It's Tom Connolly.
I've been here.
You've been here. You have been here. You've been here for a minute. But someone... Yes.
That more has... longer than a minute, I have to count in. Yeah. Maybe like... 5 years, 6 years worth of minutes.
Oh my God.
Plus.
Really? Oh man.
Right? Well, there's someone who's literally only been here for a minute.
Yes.
Literally.
Yeah.
As he makes his AfterBuzz wrestling debut, hailing from Guam, graduate of Full Sail University, and a super duper Alexa Bliss fan. Give it up for Brian Santos, everybody!
Woo. Yes, Brian!
Hello, everyone. Super excited to be here. Biggest Alexa Bliss fan and Bella Army member.
Ooh.
he's just ready to go.
Yes.
Are you like the biggest prepared. Alexa Bliss fan ever?
I hope so.
Wow.
Well, Alexa, now you know the gauntlet's been thrown. Your biggest fan apparently is hanging out with us.
Yes.
So call in sometime. All right, guys, so last SmackDown before the Super Showdown, they did a lot when you really think about it. And they did a lot with this, but then we're still hinting to things of Elimination Chamber that's in 2 weeks. Really, 2 weeks
so
away.
So much time for build-up, everybody.
So much
time.
We got plenty of time for all this stuff, guys. But yeah, overall, thoughts on the show overall.
Who wants to go first? I'll go first. I mean, I was
looking at you.
It was a decent SmackDown. I mean, not the best. I mean, I don't think it really... Some things of the pay-per-view got hyped up, but not as much. Not as much as I would hope they would.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it was a decent SmackDown this week. Good
yeah,
matches.
I would yeah. say it was a decent SmackDown, and it was also fun to open up with Moment of Bliss and have the Bella Twins come out. I thought that was really nice. I'm very excited for their moment to happen this year. In a few months, a few weeks from now. But yeah, overall, I thought it was good. Obviously, it's not like one of my favorites. We've had really stellar shows, but it was, I think, a good go-home show.
What about you, Brian? Yeah.
I agree, too. I loved the representation for the women. So we had a Moment of Bliss. We had the two female matches, right? Naomi and Carmella. So it was just really great. A lot of representation for women. Naomi and Carmella, just we'll talk about that. But but yeah, it was a really great episode, too.
All right. Well, we start things off with not just a tag team match. Not just a Teddy Long tag team match. Oh, no, no, no. We have an 8-man tag team match. Yeah, so we don't have a super-duper Teddy Long music. We'll just play it twice. The Usos team with the New Day against the Miz, Morrison, Dolph Ziggler, and Robert Roode. First off, there was a little promo cut at the beginning of the match. Why were the Usos out of breath for it?
I was the only one
who noticed that?
They literally danced their way down.
Yeah.
I mean, they did like a slow motion.
I don't know. They're always hyped.
They just came back. So, granted, they're confident, but they had a break.
Yeah, you know?
So maybe...
They've been back for 6 weeks now.
But we all hear about they got to be in ring
weeks,
shape.
Yeah.
You know, you also have to be in entrance shape as well. They're still getting into that, you know?
Maybe they were doing some running backstage. We don't know what they were filming before.
I mean, was the best part Big E in this whole thing?
Probably.
Like I think,
I mean,
which
it usually is.
Yes. Always, like just him being like, "Oh, we got 7, one more than you," and then that weird the stare down of like, mm-hmm. "Oh," and then like that, you know, aha! They just started laughing at each other. I thought it was just awesome.
The tease of the Usos and a New Day wanting to go at it. Miz and Morrison come out doing their same shtick they did more than ten years ago.
Mm-hmm.
In your greatest tag team of the 21st century.
But it works for them, though.
And now they got a new catchy chant. Mm-hmm. Miz and Morrison, hey, hey, ho, ho. Miz and Morrison, hey, hey, ho, ho. I mean, it's so catchy.
I thought it was good.
Jesus Christ. Is that really what we're doing right now? And I love when Ziggler and Roode came out. They didn't really have to talk, but Michael Cole's just like, "I'm just so disgusted by this man." Dolph Ziggler's a horrible human being for what he did to Otis last week.
Yes.
Like, Ziggler is the most hated man on the planet, right? Because he got a glass of wine with Mandy Rose. Why is that such a big deal?
Well, listen, there's more to that story, as we'll be talking about.
During the match itself, there was a little weird glitch that looked like happened, which, to me, did not feel like it was an accident. I feel like this is a sign for something.
Ooh, you know what I think it is? I feel like it has to do with Bray Wyatt and The Fiend. I feel like it's maybe character development of something to come.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I would think it'd be someone brand new.
Yeah. It seems like it's going to be someone new. It was like, it looked like an email icon. It's the, and they did it last week, too. I don't know if anyone noticed.
I didn't think
I wanted
week.
To bring up last week. It just was something that I thought it happened, but
it was so
watching.
It was so subtle.
Yes, yeah. And this one was very, you're like, oh, something just happened on my screen. So and I went back and like paused.
So if I can jump in real quick. If I've been hearing rumors that either two people, supposedly it's either Killer Cross or it's a returning Mustafa Ali.
That makes sense because obviously we all know Killer Cross is now, you know, with WWE. Mm-hmm. So it could be
And
him.
His gimmick could be like hacking into things. Or Mustafa Ali, like, seeing the light because it was kind of bright and it was his shade of blue, so that could be something too.
Mm-hmm. What do you guys think? If you're watching live right now, comment in our chat roll and I'll try to shout you out. We'll see what you guys are voting and what superstar you think this might be foreshadowing.
I think it's GTV.
I wish. Oh, if they can bring GTV back, that'd be amazing.
We're getting two Killer Crosses so far and one Mustafa Ali in the chat roll.
But I'm not super familiar with it. He's like saying he's like a glitch, like, I don't get the whole, like, if we're going with it is, like...
He might have some new gimmick with his Killer Cross for WWE.
But it's weird that it's, like, an email.
I don't know.
It's like the thing they were doing with Jericho
it's
before.
It's just starting, Tom.
I know.
Give it time to breathe.
I know.
The seeds were just planted.
But even if it is someone like...
We told you so. We're gonna get to more of that later. Don't worry. So. We're getting to more of that soundbite later.
You guys, I have a question. Even if it is someone like a Killer Cross, let's say, where do you think they're going to go with this? What storyline do you think they'll present to us with this glitch we're seeing? What will be next?
I think it's more of a disruption that he wants to be.
He's creating a virus in SmackDown.
Yeah. And that's a good one. That's
a virus in SmackDown, right?
But where these things, guys. Come on.
Where is he going to take it? Like, how will they dive deeper into that storyline?
Whoever he attacks first.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
do they become infected?
But then I like the idea of it being Ali.
Me too. When Josh said Ali, I was actually thinking of maybe a heel Ali.
So I don't want a heel Ali.
I don't want it though, personally. But maybe that's what they're doing because face has not been working for him. Or I think it's been working for him. Apparently they don't think it has. But
I think they just need to give him a chance.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He needs his Kofi chance.
So Haywood Wong just brought up, don't forget Scarlet Bordeaux.
Right, she could be Killer Cross.
That could be also something to talk about. I don't know. She could be involved as well.
Right.
Good point.
Super kick on Robert Roode. So the Usos get the win, celebrate with a New Day, but New Day just staring at Miz and Morrison, getting ready for their tag title match at Super Showdown. Mm-hmm. Daniel Bryan's in the back. He's stopped by Drew Gulak. That's right. He's still there. And they should be using him far more because he's amazing. And Gulak is telling Daniel Bryan that he has holes in his game. And I just love the fact that, first off, they look like they could be brothers. When you saw them side by side, I was just like, wait a minute. They're like identical.
Maybe they are.
Maybe they are secretly brothers.
So is this healthy constructive criticism then?
Oh, from Gulak to Daniel Bryan?
Never. Never is.
I'm sure all of his criticism is healthy.
I mean, I wish
if they're brothers.
I almost wish he would release like the PowerPoints
online. That he keeps claiming he has.
Someone. Come on, WB. You have how many people work there?
Right.
Someone get like four people to make a 300-point PowerPoint and make them really
but
dumb.
They're side by side. Tell me that they don't look like they could be brothers.
Yeah. Dude, it's the beard.
The beards and the short hair, for sure.
And they're like about the same height.
Honestly, I'm happy with the fact that they may not have PowerPoints at all, because the funny part is that you don't always have to show. It's sometimes all talk, no show, and that's what makes it funny.
Exactly.
Well, one of these days, I want him to get it ready, and then the wrestler be like, all right, let's see it. Oh, wait, what?
That would be hilarious.
Oh, you... Sure.
I only got to the fifth slide.
Oh, it got a virus on my computer. Yeah. It was Killer Cross. Oh. Heath Slater happened to be nearby, and
Heath Slater wasn't nearby. Yeah. Heath Slater was standing directly behind them
the whole time.
The whole time.
He's near them. Therefore,
I know
he's nearby.
That, I know, but come on.
And Gulak brings up Heath Slater. He's like, I heard my name. Mm. And he's like, what you did to me a couple weeks ago, you beat me down. You made my kids cry. And nobody makes my kids cry but me.
Is that a good dad skill? I don't know.
And then Heath goes, I wasn't ready. And Daniel's like, well, are you ready this week? I'm always ready. Wants a rematch. I was like, okay, we're going to have that. But now we got to get into the next chapter of the heartbreaking saga that is Otis and Mandy.
Da, da, da.
Without Otis.
No.
Because Tucker approaches Mandy and Sonya on behalf of his hurt friend.
Mm-hmm.
You hurt my boy. How could you invite Ziggler to the date? He got his hair done. Otis got new underwear. And he wouldn't leave the hotel tonight because he was so upset. And Mandy's like, I don't know what you're talking about. He wasn't there. Then why did you text him you were running late? And Mandy said, what? Text?
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
I want to comment on this.
Tucker go, I was a fool to think you had good intentions. And then Sonya mentioned, don't worry. I mean, maybe it was meant to be. I mean, Ziggler is more of Mandy Rose's type anyway. Mm-hmm. What did I say last week? I said that Sonya told Dolph where they were because she doesn't want Mandy dating Otis.
Yep.
Oh. Okay, so...
And Sonya definitely sent the text.
Yes, she did.
Right?
Yeah, so to add to that, I was going to say, like, what do you guys think? Do you guys think Dolph is the one who sent the text or Sonya's the one who sent the text?
Sonya!
Yeah, so in my opinion, I think Sonya sent the text because obviously she's closest to Mandy, so she could have access to her phone. Or be able to connect it to something, technology these days.
Maybe it was Killer Cross.
But she also could be in cahoots with Dolph Ziggler.
Sure.
As in, they've communicated about this already behind the scenes and have some sort of plan of action to distract Mandy away from Otis.
Yes.
Sure. I'm totally fine with that.
I think so, too. Because I remember, like, with Otis, he's only been benefiting Mandy. Like, when he came out to help Sonya, it wasn't really in... It didn't really work out for them.
Yeah.
Right.
So I think Sonya's still kind of maybe bitter about it, and she still wants Mandy for herself. I'm still hoping for that storyline.
It could be. Yeah, they never... Didn't they do that? I remember seeing a preview for, like, Total Divas.
Yeah,
They went to pitch it, but I didn't see the episode. Do you know what happened?
On Divas, they said that it went through or it was approved and then was cut last minute.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. So it could still be that of, like, it's really just she's not even trying to get her to be with Dolph. She kind of wants her for herself.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's what's going to come out later.
And so, in my opinion, I think that this could be nearing the end of Fire and Desire.
Absolutely.
And or it could be just rekindling and starting a whole, different
like
way.
Rekindling?
I mean,
way are they rekindling?
I don't know what they're doing. If they're doing a storyline where those two are going to be together, then...
Sounds dramatic.
I know.
Well, here's the thing that I find interesting, because we've been forever talking about, if they ever break up, that Sonya would be the baby face and pushed. It's looking like it's going to be Mandy.
Right.
Listen, Dylan Matthews in the chat role is saying, I smell a mixed tag team match, Otis and Mandy versus Dolph and Sonya.
Why is Dolph always in these mixed tag team matches?
He's always in love angles. He's always in love angles.
Like, he's the only one that could be in these angles? There's, like, how many guys on this roster?
Right.
What are we doing with Shorty G? Get him in there.
From Snooki to Summer Rae to Sonya.
Yeah. And Caitlyn.
And Lana.
I was just going.
And Lana.
I was just going. I was going with the S's, but
S's and L's and K's.
Yeah, I thought it's good. At least good story progress. Of this part of this. There's more to it later in the
show.
There's
a lot more.
But yes. Yeah.
We have an interview with Renee Young and Lacey Evans. First off, they're stealing... you should have been mad, Brian. They were stealing Lex's gimmick. They both were holding coffee.
I was like, Renee, get your own show. I'm just kidding.
Oh,
I love
having her on SmackDown. Renee was the first, though.
She gets
back to backstage.
And she has her own show, Tuesday nights on FS1.
Yes, she does.
So Lacey's talking about, I take no loss lightly. And, you know, when Sasha and Bayley started the tournament, my child, I realized I was being a bully myself. and I've now set my eyes on the Elimination Chamber to try to win myself another title shot. They're really trying to push hard to make us all get behind Lacey Evans.
Okay, can I say what everyone thought watching this?
Please.
This was awkward as hell.
I disagree. I loved it. I would say I loved it just because what I've been waiting for is for her to say, to acknowledge her previous time as a heel. Mm. Because she never did that before. She never outright said, yes, mm-hmm. I was a bully, but now I'm changing my ways. Before, she was always just kind of like, So I think that's what I liked about this. Maybe it could have been a little bit of a better interview and longer, maybe. That kind of maybe would have given more.
To me, it just seemed like they told Renee, like, hey, ask her a question, and she's going to awkwardly answer you.
They probably did tell her that.
And, yeah. Right? Or not even tell her that. Because then I feel like Renee was like,
just from what I know.
Where are we going from this? What are we doing here? Like, okay, I get your, you know, talking about how they were bullying your daughter and everything. It's, I don't know. To me, it was awkward. It was so awkward.
But then there are so many things I want to get behind with Lacey. The fact, you know, that she raised her kid. She was a Marine. If you watch the day of for the Royal Rumble on the WWE Network, she shows that she has this thing on her boots she keeps a fan mail. Like, she picks a different one each time, keeping her boot to remind her. Like, these are all things that you want to get behind. But you can't push it down our throats.
Yeah.
And you can't have her still be the sassy, sexy Southern Belle if we're going to get behind it. She's got to be Lacey Evans, the badass, who's sticking up for people who are being bullied.
But, like, she can be, like, sassy and Southern, but it just comes across as I don't feel like she is sassy or Southern. Like, I don't get it. It's not resonating with me. It's not connecting. Yeah. I'm not connecting with it.
Wait, if you don't feel like she's sassy and Southern, what is she?
I don't know. It just feels like it's fake. Like, it feels too
very
forced.
Fake. Yes.
It feels like very fake. Oh, the nasties is a word I used to use and blah, blah, blah. I feel like she's going to be like, oh, what's that, the Office episode? I do declare. Oh. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's what I'm waiting for. I'm waiting for someone to come and be like, I do declare that Lacey Evans has a title match at Elimination Chamber. Like, so that's all she needs is like...
So you want Teddy Long to show up?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, he could be her manager. I don't care.
There he is.
I think a lot of people also wish Lacey Evans kind of worked the storyline and this character development prior.
Yes.
Like, brought this in earlier.
Well, I get that's not her,
that's not her fault.
On them being like
of
pushing
course.
This. Yeah. I just think like you're saying, it's being forced a little too much, and it's hard to get behind.
Yeah.
When she has everything that could be to get behind her, being a Marine, a mom, and she's a good wrestler and can kick ass.
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
that's all we need.
So before we move on to the next topic, mm-hmm. we forgot one little thing.
Oh, what'd we forget?
So I'm going to shout out Robert Reyes right now. Thank you for being a long-time fan. This tweet, if you're watching our video on YouTube right now, came to me the other night when I believe it was probably during SmackDown. But it says 23rd of February. Today. He sent it in the middle of the night. He made this really awesome collage that says, at Gabby Lauren TV, when you find out you're an Otis chasing after your Mandy Rose, in parentheses, yes, baby, me is twice the size of Otis. And then he put side-by-side pictures of Otis and Mandy, and then Robert Reyes' baby photo, and myself, but me and Mandy aren't in the same pose. It is hysterical. Robert, you're amazing. Thank you for that.
And I love,
it's so funny.
Yeah, I love it's the same exact age of Robert and Otis. They're the same age there.
Yeah, so much the same age.
Like everything is identical. The only difference is your lipstick's brighter than Mandy's.
Yeah.
It's the only difference in the photo.
Me and Mandy are using different arms, too.
Yeah. Yeah, you should work on that for next time. Yeah. Make sure you use the other arm.
I have to use the other arm.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
You need to take a new picture now.
This was a few years ago, you guys. I'm surprised he even like went through all my photos and found that specific one to make sure I looked exactly like Mandy Rose in that moment. Dude,
I don't want to comment on that.
What were you going to say?
No, well, we're just going to move on. We're going to move on to the Symphony of Destruction.
Where is your mind at?
In the gutter.
Symphony
in
the
gutter.
Well, you want to talk
in
about...
In the Firefly Funhouse.
You want to talk about where your mind's at. The start of the Symphony of Destruction match, they made plenty of euphemisms between Sami Zayn's ukulele and Braun Strowman's stand-up bass.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter the size of the instrument. Okay, guys. We get it. We had chopping with a tambourine. We had Cesaro go through a bass drum. We, of course, had guitars.
I mean, he didn't really go he went through it, but it just dropped on his head.
Yeah. Cesaro brought down a guitar case with him, and he opened it up, and there was the cowbell.
Yep.
And I haven't seen it yet. Josh in the booth, if you can find it, supposedly they made a Cesaro cowbell t-shirt.
Oh,
okay. They're making it a thing.
I don't know if I can get behind that.
I'm not going to get behind that. As someone who has their bachelor's and master's degree in percussion, I'm not going to get behind this cowbell t-shirt. There it is. It actually exists.
What does it say?
Hold on. He's going to expand it for us right now.
Oh, my gosh.
It's a real thing.
We can use a little less cowbell.
Why?
I mean, come on. That SNL sketch was how many years ago? 20?
It could be yours for a outstanding price of $27.99. We can use a little less cowbell.
Let's just wait 3 months and it'll be
$5.
It'll be buy one, get one, $1.
Yeah, there you go. Yep. Yep.
Or if you wait till, what is it, Black Friday when they do all the deals? Yeah. Yeah. November?
All right.
Those are the best deals on shirts.
It'll really be a dollar.
It looks like someone did it on like paint. Yeah. Like Windows paint.
And they're selling for $28. Now that's it.
Wait, is this or the
this Thwith Superman one?
No, no, no.
Because they had that one when he lost the tooth too.
I was gonna say the most of the tag team, the best. Oh my god, who are those
best
guys?
Best team ever? Him and Tyson Kidd?
No. I'm talking not Cesaro. Oh my god!
I don't know what you're talking
Henning.
About. Oh, the B team.
Yeah. So, like, what shirt is worse, the B team?
Oh,
or
yeah,
that
was horrible.
This one, no, the cowboy one is worse.
I think the B team was like intentionally horrible. Yeah. 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 They actually think that's cute.
Yeah. now this match obviously was crazy with all the different instruments they used, but I enjoyed it. I thought this was fun. It had its comical moments. It had its very painful moments. Ask Nakamura about it. He apparently got 9 staples on the back of his head after this match.
Yep. When? For what spot?
The finisher, the power slam on the piano.
Yeah. Really?
He hit his head on the corner of it. Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That sounds like a concussion.
Yeah. I saw the pictures online. I was like, oh no. Help.
Yeah.
It looked awkward when he landed, but I didn't see his head.
Yeah.
Because I was too busy looking at Strowman awkwardly landing and then falling off, and him almost hitting his head on the table on the outside.
Well, I was just worried, thinking, I'm just like, I hope they're not going to break through a piano, because that's just impossible to break through a piano.
Right.
But it's like, oh no, they did not go through that piano at all.
Yeah.
That was maybe as legit of a piano that they could get out there, and it clearly hurt Nakamura.
Yeah.
So Braun and Elias get the win. Elias looked good, especially at the end with that elbow drop through the table. I mean, so this is continuing. I don't know to what.
Do you think it will continue after this week?
I don't think they're doing anything in Saudi Arabia.
I mean, Strowman's going to be there, though.
Yeah, they'll probably do something.
So will it end here, or will they continue to do something?
Probably something at Chamber.
Yeah.
Since it's so close.
Yeah. Because I don't know where else to go. Either you were kind of saying, like, Fatal 4-Way, where, like, I think it could be a Fatal 4-Way with all four of these guys.
Chamber kickoff?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm
Chamber kickoff, yeah.
From here, we go to a moment of bliss.
Yay.
I was waiting to see how you would react to
that. I actually was like, yay, like on my couch and everything. But yeah, I'm just like, yay.
Now, did anybody notice something very, very interesting at the start of this?
No Nikki?
Correct.
And no Nikki bobblehead
thing? Do you know why?
No, why?
Because you won't have two Nikkis in the same segment.
Are you serious?
Oh.
I'm leaving. I am literally leaving.
How often do you see two people with the same name? First off, two people with the same name on the same show is incredibly rare.
And spelled the exact same way, too.
That's right.
True. I didn't
that's right.
Think
so that's why
that.
They wouldn't bother having Nikki with Nikki.
That's really dumb. If that's
couldn't
the reason
they
why they wouldn't do that.
The last part of their name, Nikki Cross, Nikki Bella.
Yeah, I don't. That's really dumb.
Have nothing to back myself up with that, but I'm 99% certain that's
that
why she wasn't there.
That does make a lot of sense, though.
It does.
They're going to justify it by saying that it's her first show, or like the first female show. That's kind of what she's doing it on her own, maybe?
I think it also has to do with maybe if they had Nikki Cross there, it would be too many people bantering back and forth.
Yes.
It could create confusion.
It wasn't really tight up there. Like, Brie had to like slide through the between the coffee table and the chair.
Right,
so.
Like it's physically tight and also audio-wise, I just feel like sometimes people talk over each other and it could get messy. There's too much going on.
Yes.
Might be, but... We have a Hall of Fame edition of Moment of Bliss. as it is announced that Alexa's guests, the Bella Twins, will be inducted into this year's WWE Hall of Fame. I don't know why that's the more you know music, but we'll roll with it. Why the hell not? So I wanted to say something real quick regarding with the Bellas, because I know everyone's going to have an opinion on this, especially Brian over there with the Bella Army t-shirt on. There have been people over the years who have said how they never want to see the Bellas in the Hall of Fame because they're not good wrestlers. I have criticized their wrestling many times over the years. They got better on their later sides. What people don't remember is the key thing of being in a Hall of Fame is not like your stats or how good of a wrestler you were. It's what type of impact that you made in the business and how it pushed forward. And I can give the best example of that. My older sister made fun of me throughout my entire childhood for watching wrestling. Guess what her favorite reality show was? Total Divas.
I was going to say Survivor.
No. And when she started watching it, she would actually text me, be like, now I'm starting to understand why you like wrestling. Because she got this inside of the Bellas, of Natalya, of whoever was on whatever season. And so she would ask me, like, so what? How's Nia Jax doing? How's Nikki doing? How's whoever, Natalya doing? And so it brought this whole new fan base and opened things up. This helped all the WWE 24s and Chronicle shows. This obviously helped the women's revolution in a way. This opened so many doors and brought in so many more fans. That's the impact. That's why the Bellas are and should be in the Hall of Fame.
So I want to add something here. I totally agree to everything you've just said. I actually got really into watching wrestling in general over the last few years because of Total Divas.
There you go.
So, listen, I had seen Raw when I was younger. I definitely knew of China, and I loved China. I loved Hulk Hogan and all the greats, but I wasn't as into it when I was a kid. I definitely had gone to a show or so, but when that TV reality show came out with everybody on it, the first one, Total Divas, it really showed me another side of wrestling, like the behind the scenes, what these athletes put in, how much work they dedicate to it, and their lifestyle, their career, and how they can be successful in it. And so I just resonated with that whole side of the industry, and then I started watching Main Event, and that's how I got involved even here at AfterBuzz, recapping this stuff and learning along the way. So it's impacted my life in such a way that, whoa, I went from just seeing Total Divas to now being a backstage reporter in wrestling. You know, like, that's crazy when you think about it. It has totally impacted my life and career. So I think they definitely deserve that Hall of Fame induction this year for 2020.
You actually are, like, on the exact same boat as me. Like, I was a wrestling fan when I was little and fell off throughout, like, middle and high school. But Total Divas came out, like, I think the end of my high school life, and I just, like, latched onto it. And what, even more than the fact that, like, I was just inspired by watching them, it was more the fact that the way they weaved in, like, programming on WWE into Total Divas. So I wanted to see how Nikki Bella won the Divas Championship. I wanted to see how this happened because of Total Divas. So, like you said, it was definitely, that was a big impact, making people not only see the different side of, like, wrestling, but making people see, like, what it can be. So I loved it so much. And Bella fan right here, so.
Yes. Were you a Bella fan after Total Divas?
I actually was. I knew they were part of WWE, but I was never really a big fan until they got their big break on Total Divas. And that's when I just, from season one of Total Divas all the way until now, it's like, I've been on their boat, and I'm never getting off.
There you go. Bella Twins turning people onto their side.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, they deserve it. I think the biggest thing people say is that, do they deserve it right now?
Sure.
Sure.
And it's like, who cares? Like, it's not up to us. The fans do not get the vote on this. Mm-hmm. So they're going to put in whoever they want to put in each year. And I granted, there's other women that have been wrestlers. They can put another one in this year, too. Yeah. Just because it's only these two, just because it's two of them, doesn't mean there can't be another woman that goes in to the Hall of Fame this year, too.
You could also, because they usually...
But they deserve it,
and
though.
And they do usually say there's one tag team each
year.
Oh,
yeah.
I mean, you could use this as a tag team if they wanted to. Mm. But I like the idea of a singles women's wrestler and another tag team as well. Like, why can't there be?
Yeah. Yes. I mean, everyone's going to have their... I don't know why people have such beef with
them. I know. What did they do to you guys?
They are good wrestlers. They became better wrestlers.
Yep.
The fact that they were able to take... Go and Total Divas... get their own show, and they're not even on TV anymore, and they still have a TV show, mm-hmm. a separate TV show from Total Divas, and they're on Total Divas and not even on wrestling anymore. So it's like the fact that they were successful enough to do this.
They built a giant empire.
Yes, they did, yeah. Yes. They built their brand, and their brand must be doing good.
Well, and they're both having babies.
Yeah. I mean, that too. That's crazy. They're twins, and they're both pregnant at the same time.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, now.
This must be the best year of their life, by the way.
Yeah.
Just saying, like, Nikki's getting all her dreams are coming
true. Okay.
She's engaged to this hot Russian man who's a beautiful dancer. Yeah. She also is pregnant with his baby. She's always wanted to be a mom.
Otis's last name is Dosevich.
He's Russian?
That's a Russian name.
Oh.
Is he Jewish?
You'd have to ask him that. I don't know.
I don't know if Otis is a Jewish name, but...
Otis! We got...
Whoa.
Otis, we got your backup plan, just in case.
Otis, are you willing to convert for me? I'm down if Kevin Owens is.
All right, we got to keep moving. We're running out of time. We still got like half the show to cover. Dan O'Brien versus Heath Slater. It was cool that he brought Birdie out because it was just at the end with that. So it was cool that he carried the game.
I like she has that Birdie mode T-shirt.
Birdie mode shirt.
Very sweet.
Gulak's on commentary. To me, that was the only highlight of the match was Gulak actually like, you know, possibly building a little something with Dan O'Brien in this.
Yeah.
Which I enjoyed. Dan O'Brien, of course, gets to win with a running knee, but Heath Slater definitely put up a much better fight than last week.
Yes.
Or 2 weeks ago, whenever it was.
Yeah.
Mandy Rose backstage. We get a little glitch again. Mm-hmm. Because Killer Kross is hanging out. Mm-hmm. Or Mustafa Ali or GTV or whoever it may be. She's standing at the door just like waiting for her ride, and Ziggler shows up and is like, oh, I can drive you home if you want. And she's like, oh, okay. I don't see anything possibly wrong with that based on everything that's happened in the last week.
Yeah.
And Otis had the courage.
Lurking in the shadows.
He peeked out the corner.
Yeah. Like, Otis, come on, man. You're being all creepy now.
Otis, yeah. Otis, in a matter of seconds, went from the guy that I feel so bad for to, we need a restraining order.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very you on Netflix.
Ooh. That's actually you in your regular life. Get it? You in your regular life? You are you. No, I'm not joking.
What, he's lurking in the corner?
He's had moments. He's had moments. Oh my god. That was creepy.
You have to go watch the YouTube. Not
watch the YouTube.
Yeah, if you're just listening on iTunes or Spotify, you better get over to the YouTube video to see what he just did to me.
No, why is Otis getting all creepy now?
I don't know. He was at the hotel, devastated, couldn't show up, and now shows up in his gear and is hiding. Made no sense there.
Yeah.
You could have left it with Dolph and Mandy leaving. You could have had Tucker in disgust. You could have had Sonya in the background with a smile, or you could have had nothing at all.
Yeah.
And all of these would have worked.
I don't know how they were trying to portray this. Like, I get we're trying to get sympathy for him and be like, oh, like he just happened to come up and see them leaving, but it looked creepy
because
he's hiding behind a pallet of whatever.
For sure. I already felt like so much sympathy from him. When he dropped those roses last week, I was ready to cry. Like,
how was...
Yeah.
It's the saddest moment ever.
Yeah.
Like, there should have been a different way to do this, but they just didn't. They
didn't
do
it
right.
How are you going to break Otis's heart on live TV in front of everybody?
2 weeks in a row.
It's Dolph Ziggler. He's out to get him.
Yeah. And also, Mandy, the show's not over.
You may
have a
Why
match.
Why are you leaving so early?
Yeah.
And you're what line was she calling? I don't think Uber goes through security.
Yeah.
Quick little promo from Sheamus. He's done with Shorty G and Paula Cruz. Wants to go on to Elimination Chamber. And we see Gable and Cruz watching it. Shorty G is trying to hype up Cruz. He's like, I got an idea what we can do. And Cruz is like, you do your thing. I'm going to handle things my way.
Finally.
Okay. Now do something with it.
Yeah.
Naomi versus Carmella. Winner gets to face Bayley in Saudi Arabia. Bayley's at ringside and immediately gets thrown out.
Yeah.
That didn't last long.
No.
Last week, we went on and on talking about how much fun we enjoyed the Carmella versus Bayley match. Why was Carmella versus Naomi half the speed of Carmella versus Bayley? I don't know what happened in this match, but I felt like it was I was watching it at a slower temp, a slower speed.
Same.
I can't believe I was bored with this match. I was so excited for this match and felt incredibly let down.
What do you think it was, honestly?
I honestly don't know. Maybe just them in a singles match just doesn't gel as well, mm-hmm. maybe. That said, it definitely makes you think, all right, we already knew Bayley was really good, but how good is she when she had such a great match with Carmella last week, and this week Carmella's wrestling Naomi, and it wasn't nearly as good as the other one.
Yeah. I mean, what do you think, Brian?
I have to just apologize. Like, those are my two girls, and I give it up to them, but I 100% agree with you. It was very, very slow, and transitions were really, really awkward to different segments. But I wouldn't say it's a testament to Bayley, like, that she's that bomb.com.org.gov.edu, but I think it was just, like you said, maybe they don't have as good chemistry one-on-one because they have worked together in a tag team in the past for that quick little moment on EC, but I think it's just a testament to not having the good chemistry for one-on-one matches, because that was really weird.
Yeah, I mean, I would give them another shot. Like, I'd like to see them fight again.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm shocked Naomi won.
Yeah, I was hoping it was going to end in no contest and a triple.
Oh, I'm not at all surprised that Naomi won this match.
I thought it was going to be a Carmella, and then we're going to get Naomi later. But
ever since Naomi debuted, she's been in Bayley's face. Mm-hmm. To me, it made perfect sense that she was winning this match.
Yeah. History will be made Thursday.
I am just very excited, actually, that Naomi won, because I think that she deserves it. She's a phenomenal wrestler, mm-hmm. in my opinion.
Yes.
I like that she's merged her dance background with her wrestling background, incorporated the two, and she has her own sort of unique character. And I want someone like that to be champion again. We've seen her rock it out before, but I think now is a great time to bring it to Saudi Arabia, where obviously women are slowly gaining more rights. So for her to even be there in the first place, mm-hmm. I think it's a big deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And for this championship title to be on the line in the first place is
absolutely.
A big deal. So I'm very happy that it got into Naomi's hands.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Naomi has the best entrance in almost, mm-hmm. I think, all of wrestling.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She's the hype girl.
All of wrestling, she has the best entrance.
Absolutely. It's just like the New Day have the best entrance for tag teams, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I think that Naomi has the best entrance for singles women's competitors.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Definitely. And then we have the icon Goldberg. He's here. Can you tell? Can you tell how excited I am for this match?
I didn't know how happy you were going to be until right there.
He's immediately interrupted by the Firefly Funhouse. Bray wants to introduce him to people. There's someone who's been dying to meet you. Lights come out. The Fiend is behind him. Goldberg turns around, smiles, and spears him. Well, disappears, and that's it.
They did, like we talked about last week, they did what I wanted them to do, where it was like, we saw Bray one place,
yep.
but the Fiend showed up at the same time. Mm-hmm. I mean, granted, they didn't have the screen on. But, oh, man.
So they listened.
They listened to me.
Yeah.
But Goldberg is, like, the worst person to go against the Fiend, I think.
Me too, I agree.
Because
he's
going to
win, which is going to make me so sad.
The thing that sucks is that he doesn't play along. Like, he's like... You improv. I feel like he's always just, like, he doesn't do the yes end.
He does not.
The person I've been waiting to meet, the Fiend. Like, you're like, of course it's going to be the Fiend, but you don't have to say that on the microphone. And then I think it was annoying that...
And he's right behind me.
Yeah, he's right behind... Yeah, exactly, yes. I was like, okay, Scooby-Doo. Like, pull the mask off him then. Like, what the hell? I thought it was so stupid, and I can't believe, like, the Fiend just didn't attack him.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Well, like come
play the
on.
Rage
like,
music.
That was, like, very dumb of them to book it where the Fiend just didn't attack him and go after him, and then also I feel like the light should have went off and came back on, and he should have been destroying Goldberg. Like, he shouldn't have disappeared, and I really hate it, but Goldberg's winning that belt on Thursday.
I hope it happens like what I said last week. Goldberg's gonna spear him three times, jackhammer, and Wyatt's gonna somehow kick out, and then Manimal Claw, and it's just done.
Like, I don't...
I hope I'm right with that, because I'm feel very confident that Goldberg's going to win the title, and it's going to be so bad for SmackDown.
Like, I can't believe that, like, we're going to, like, in this age, in this day, we're going to have Lesnar come in and win the belt off of Kofi in 8 seconds on Fox. Oh. Now we're going to have The Fiend, someone who is deserving of the title and has been interesting and so different from anybody we've seen in a while, lose to Goldberg like Kevin Owens did just to hype up a WrestleMania match?
Yep.
Like, no. It doesn't make sense, and if that's what people are going to see at WrestleMania, Goldberg, then, like, come on, people, where have you been the last 20 years? Like, You should have been watching us this whole time. Not, you know, oh, I'm only going to show up because Goldberg showed up for WrestleMania. Great. Cool.
Yeah.
Rant over.
All right. Well, yeah.
I don't know if you guys liked it, but yeah.
All right, so we only have very, very little time left. So we want to get as much wrestling rap as we possibly can, because I know we've been going over a lot of stuff. Gabby, do you got anything for us here?
Oh, yeah. This has been a big week for a lot
of news and
wrestling.
It's been a lot of stuff this week.
Yes. All right, so the first story I'm going to talk about, and please forgive me if I mess up her name. There's a wrestler from Japan. Her name is Sayuri, I believe. She announces she is signing with WWE, and she's moving to the U.S. in March. So it's really interesting because this is another new signing. We've had a lot come down the pipeline, including Legends' daughters, just like The Rock's. But they did announce it at a World Women Pro Wrestling Diana show earlier in the day on February 22nd. So keep that in mind. It looked like she was expressing interest back in September, but it wasn't really confirmed until recently, and there was an interview with Triple H in July from Tokyo Sports that indicated that they were definitely interested at that time during a WWE tour a few months prior. So she's only 23 years old. Obviously, this is a big step in the right direction. What do you guys think of the new signing? Please let us know in the comments section. We want to hear from you. Are you guys excited that a new performer from Japan will be entering the roster?
I mean, they've had success in the past with others. So, I mean, keep that train going.
Yeah, definitely. And speaking of performers from Japan, they will be apparently opening up a new performance center in Japan coming soon. So that's a huge deal. I guess WWE is returning to Osaka and Yokohama in July for 3 live events. So it's possible, it's speculated that they will be announcing closer to that time period when this will be happening. But it's definitely in the pipeline. So
is that a good
exciting.
Thing, though?
I think so.
I mean, but I don't know. What do you think?
I think it could be. It would definitely bring a lot of good talent from Japan. We got some great Asukas and Kairi Sanes, and but I hope it'll just give them more opportunities to develop. I mean, they're already so amazing when they leave Japan and come to WWE, so it'll just make them that more great. So
yeah,
I mean, we might just get an NXT Japan out of all this.
Right?
That's what I mean. Yeah, it's just like to me, it's are they oversaturating the market being in too many places though?
Sure.
Well, or do we need to have them in more marketplaces to build more rosters so the more of these guys get seen? That's why NXT UK is doing so well. If it was just NXT, there'd be so many people lost in a shuffle between the UK and NXT.
No, I get that, yeah. But I just think it's hard to where, like, because you heard all the things of, like, them going and just, like, signing everyone, where it's like, well, then what about the other promotions that are out there? Like,
of course.
How do those people survive? And, you know, how do you build people up, basically?
Yeah.
Like, you can't get rid of all the indies.
Of course.
You know?
Yeah, so you were saying, like, how will these other indie shows survive when they move into other
territories?
Yeah,
we'll see how it happens. I'm sure it'll be fine.
It's definitely for, like, New Japan Pro Wrestling, things like that, it might be more difficult.
All right, we got to get rid of the wrap-up. Do you have any last
Get rid of the wrap-up. I think a lot of fans are going to be offended.
I was trying to say, do you have anything left?
You guys, if you want to rage about that in the comment section, please feel free.
I'm sorry, I tried to follow
I am wrapping it up, thank you. So, one other really big story this week is FCW documentary will be coming soon. So essentially, WWE's Florida Championship Wrestling developmental brand is set to premiere next month. That's going to be on March 8th. Big deal. It's called A Future WWE, the FCW Story. Again, that will be on WWE Network. So WWE.com wrote, before NXT and the world-class WWE Performance Center, there was Florida Championship Wrestling. WWE's no-frills talent development system that, despite its humble settings, gave rise to some of this era's most dominant superstars, from Sheamus and Roman Reigns to Seth Rollins and the Bella Twins, who will be inducted this year. I just add that in. For the first time ever. You can learn about the legacy of FCW from those who shaped it when a future WWE, the FCW Story premieres Sunday, March 8th on the award-winning WWE Network. Check it out online. There's more there. And lastly, Kevin Owens, we finish off with, thanks for giving me this extra time, he will do Inside the Ropes in Glasgow. So check that out. It's a spoken word show. They just tweeted it out and announced it. So we'll look out for you, Kevin Owens. Make sure to support him.
All right. Sounds good. So we got to get... rid of the show.
We're not getting rid of any show. Not SmackDown Live recap. Not wrestling rap. None of it. But you can
not my rants. That closet, we're closing though. The closet's
we're,
getting
we're
boarded
shutting
up.
The closet. We're getting rid of it. It's getting boarded up with a padlock. And the clothes are being thrown
okay.
to the curb.
You can find me at Tom the Com. I'm done.
Yeah. And if anything in Christian's closet this week, it's Brian's jacket. I mean, let's be honest. If there's anything in there,
unfortunately, the closet's going out of business.
We're liquidating right now. But in the meantime, Brian. Thanks for hanging out with us this week. How can people reach out to you?
Thank you. You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and TikTok at TheBrianSantos. You can also catch me on The Good Trouble and Katie Keene After Show.
There you go. Tom already plugged himself. Gabby.
You guys can catch me on Access TV on Tuesday nights for Impact Wrestling, Wow Women Wrestling when we return, eventually, and Shein on Thursday nights doing my live stream on the Shein app. Check it out.
And follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Josh_Tariff. This Saturday, on my birthday weekend, no less, Wrestling Pro Wrestling is live in Burbank, California. You can check them out at twitch.tv/WPW. Thanks so much for tuning in this week. For Tom Connolly and Brian Santos and Gabby Loran, I'm Josh Tariff. We will see you later.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.